lastly, concerning crucial elements of God's economy, and actually, even though the crucial elements of God's economy was spoken in 1978, it really matches what came out in this recent Itero. And so let me start with a burden that was released in even message one of the Itero. And that is, we all need to be brought back to Christ himself for the genuine church life. You know, my prayer for this time, I've been concerned. Just how are you doing in your Christian life, your personal walk with the Lord? And at the same time, concerned, how are you doing in the church life? How's the church life where you are? You know, sometimes in the church life, when we come to the meetings, we have a feeling that the meetings are dry. We have a feeling the meetings are not so living, not so supplying. Maybe the meetings become somewhat of a form or a routine. But the meetings actually are a reflection of our daily living. Our daily living as a believer, issues in the genuine church life. And even in the ministry, it brings out that the genuine church life, a daily living. You know, in the church life, we meet together, but you know, our meetings are not that many hours of the week. And the meetings, they have a start time, and the meetings, they have an end time. But when a meeting ends, the body life does not end. When the meeting ends, we do not end as a member of the body of Christ, and our living in the body does not end when the meetings end. But rather, we need to see, we have to take care in our daily living to be those that are experiencing and enjoying Christ. Then this will issue in a church life that's full of life, that's supplying, that's not a burden to us. We will look forward to the meetings rather than we have to go to. A few weeks ago, I was in Addis Ababa in Ethiopia. I was there teaching a class to the trainees, and I was able to stay a little longer just so I could join the Lord's Day meeting of the church. I tell you, brothers and sisters, when I joined the meeting on Lord's Day morning, we had the Lord's table meeting first. That meeting was 50 to 60 minutes long, 50 to 60 minutes long. And in that meeting, we only sang two hymns. We only sang two hymns the entire time on Christ and, of course, one to the Father. So for this meeting, we weren't relying on the hymns. You know, sometimes our Lord's table meetings tend to be formal and marathon, a hymn marathon. We sing one hymn. There's not much praying or praising or speaking after the hymn, so we call another hymn, and then another hymn, and then another hymn. Then we eventually break the bread, we sing another hymn, and then we sing a hymn to the Father. But with these saints in Addis Ababa, we only sang those two hymns. But we were not silent. The saints were not silent. After we sang a hymn, not just once, but several times, enjoying it each time, and even that was not a form. You know, sometimes in our Lord's Day meeting in the table, There's this form of singing the hymn twice. You know, you could almost predict it, right? Someone calls a hymn, we sing it through once, and either someone's going to say, let's sing it again, or brothers on one, sisters on two. It's almost like a form, a formality. Not just once, twice, three times, but each time full of enjoyment, full of exercising the spirit. Then when the singing stopped, the saints did not read, merely read the lines of the hymn, but rather they used the lines of the hymns to stand up and to speak something about Christ, to speak something about their enjoyment and experience of Christ. Or if they didn't speak it, they would release a prayer with a praise to the Lord using a line of the hymn or a phrase from the hymn to utter some prayer or praise to the Lord. I tell you, in that meeting, I was not looking at my watch, wondering when will the table end. But it was such a living meeting, such an enjoying meeting. And it was the same. There were no long gaps. There was no silence, no staring at one another. There was no inward praying, oh, Lord, please, please let someone speak. I don't know if you've been in a prophesying meeting like that where it's quiet and inwardly you're just praying that someone would say something. And of course, when someone speaks, we're all so happy. But in this meeting, one after another, the saints were standing. Sometimes there were three or four standing, waiting for their opportunity to speak. And oh, speaking was so rich, so living. Well, saints, you know, when we consider the meetings of the church, and as I described earlier, you know, sometimes we're in the meeting and it's not so living. It's not so supplying to us. It's almost become a burden to us and even somewhat of a form or formality. Inwardly, we all long for a rich meeting life. We all long for those meetings where we are just richly supplied. But those meetings are an issue. Those types of meetings are an issue of the daily living of the saints. So we really need to take care, brothers and sisters, of our daily living. Our daily living is for the church life. Even if there's no meeting going on at this moment, even though we're not sitting in a meeting, how we're living during the day, it will have an issue in the meetings of the church. So now I'd just like to be practical in some of my fellowship with you. Men to distract us from Christ, many things. Of course, we have the outward things of our life, our family, our children, our job, that takes our time. But when we talk about being distracted from Christ, it's not only those things. We can even be distracted from Christ by good things related to our culture, related to ethics, related to morality, related to certain teachings, where instead of enjoying Christ, experiencing Christ, we are distracted from Him to live by these other things. Okay? If we have a job, we would like to be a good employee. How are you going to be a good employee? Well, if we are to be in Christ as we work, we will be an exemplary employee, if we live Christ in our workplace, if we live Christ in our family life, wouldn't we all like a good family life? I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good father. I want to know how to raise my children. Well, for all these things, we need to experience Christ. And in this chapter on the crucial elements of God's economy, Brawley shared this. He says, life not being a condition, but a person. I'll repeat that again. Life not being a condition, but a person, Christ. You know, this realization that perhaps our livings or our meetings are not so living. You may have some thought, you know, my condition right now is I'm not that living. I don't know if you use this kind of saying among yourselves in Australia, but amongst the younger ones here in the United States, the young people, the college students, you know, you might see them, go visit them, or they may come to the meeting, and you ask them, how are you doing? And they say, oh, I'm out of it. I'm out of it right now. In other words, they're saying their condition is they're not living. Their condition is they're not in life. You know, we sometimes have this thought, you know, I just don't feel so living right now. My condition is not one of life. But Brother Lee's birth. Life is not a condition. Life is a person, Christ. So the reason why you are not living, the reason why you're not full of life, is there's a shortage of your contact with Christ. There's a lack of your spending time with Christ, because Christ is life. He is life. And when you contact Christ, when you spend time with Christ, when you join yourself to Christ, you are joining yourself, you are contacting the one who is life. That's life. It's this Christ. It's this person. And he's the one that makes us living. So actually, if we have this realization, we're not in life, that's actually the realization. Christ, no matter how outwardly good it may seem, it's not Christ, because Christ is life. When you contact Christ, when you spend time with Christ, you are contacting the one who is life, and he makes you living. So in our daily life, brothers and sisters, we must be contacting the Lord. We must contact the Lord. This is a necessity. you know, in the Lord's recovery, we appreciate that we are free, right? Free from the law. But actually, when you really get into it, we're not that free. You know, sometimes we're in the Lord's recovery. We're so happy. Praise the Lord. We're not for legalities. We're for love. When it comes to life, you find out that there are certain legalities with life. You consider your human life. You know, to maintain your human life in a very healthy way, you need to breathe. You need to breathe. It's a legality. You can't say, no, I want to be in freedom. I don't want to be in this legality that I have to breathe multiple times, constantly, unceasingly. Let me be free. Well, No, we don't want you to be free from breathing, because breathing is a necessity of life. The same with eating, the same with drinking. We can never say, I want to be free from the legality of needing to eat and needing to drink. So in our daily life, we need to contact the Lord. Even in a proper way, we could say there's a legality about this. If we're going to live the Christian life, if we're going to have the genuine church life, which within us, we all long for the genuine church life, but to have these things, we need Christ. We need to daily live Christ. We need to daily contact Christ, experience this Christ, enjoy this Christ. But many, many of us throughout the day, we are distracted. We are distracted from Christ. And we need the Lord to bring us back to Christ Himself. Even we need to be reminded every day to live and enjoy Christ. Well, we may nod our head, we may agree with this, then the meeting ends, right? And we go back to our routine in our living, and we get distracted by many things. So what are some practical things that we could do to be brought back to Christ? What's a help to us to be able to contact the Lord, even to touch the Lord? Well, I want to bring another point from this chapter on the crucial elements of God's economy. And this point is the Word being the embodiment of God, Christ, the Spirit, and life. The Word, God, it's the embodiment of Christ. It's the embodiment of the Spirit. It's the embodiment of life. You know, to be a living person in your Christian life and in the church life, you need God. You need Christ. You need the Spirit. You need life. And these four, they have been embodied in the Word of God. So, brothers and sisters, if we are saying every day we need to come to God, or every day we need to touch the Spirit, or every day we need to contact Christ, or every day we need to be persons of life, how can this become practical to us? It's by our coming to the Word, coming to the Word. So this is fellowship with you in your daily living. Are you coming to the Word? Because when you come to the Word brings you to God, brings you to Christ, brings you to the Spirit, brings you to life. So it's a necessity for all of us to daily touch the Lord through the Word. I know, we're all busy. Okay, we're all busy with jobs, with raising families, with responsibilities. But every day, we need to have a time in the Word. In fact, there are three ways that we should be considering in our coming to the Word. being nourished. And this is daily. Every day, we need to come to the Word in the morning, even first thing in the morning. We should come to the Word. And we should have a little time to read and to pray read the Word. Even 10 minutes. 10 minutes each morning, the first thing that we do at the beginning of our day is to come to the Word, because we know we need to be nourished. We know this. It's a necessity. I cannot live Christ. I cannot live a Christian life. I cannot live the kind of life that issues in the genuine church life if I am not nourished. God is the supply. Christ is the food, and He is in the Word. So I will take some time, and even 10 minutes, brothers and sisters, will make a difference every day. Just opening the Word, read a little, and pray read a little. Even don't read too much, and don't pray read too much if you don't have the time. Just read and pray. Read and pray. Pray, read the Word. And there will be some nourishment. You know, I'm not sure what was the background. Well, actually, I do know the background for this, because Brother Lee ended up sharing it. You know, he says, I understand that we're all busy, that all the saints are busy. But don't make an excuse for not spending time in the Word of God every day. Don't make an excuse. And he gave this example. He says, you say you're busy. And this is obviously many decades ago when he was giving this example. He says, you say you're busy. Then the phone rings and you talk to someone for an hour on the phone. Well, you're so busy, yet you still find time to talk on the phone for an hour. Well, today, right, we're so busy, but the text messages come and we may text back and forth. Today, we're so busy, we check social media. 15, 20 minutes goes by before we know it, checking the social media or reading something. From coming to the Word to be nourished. It just needs to be a necessity in our daily living. And even in a good sense, this needs to become a legality to us. I must begin my day. If I can't begin my day immediately in the Word, as soon as possible, I'm going to find those 10 minutes. And even I want to add, I'm going to find the place where I can just spend a little bit of time in the Word. You know, my personal routine in the morning when I get up is to spend some time just in the Word, reading and praying to be nourished. And I have a place every morning. I have a place. In fact, everyone in the house knows that's my place where I go in the morning. Don't go into that space. Don't bother me when I'm having that time. Well, maybe if my children were younger, maybe I would need to go into my car, or maybe I would need to leave for my job 10, 15 minutes earlier so that in the parking lot outside the office, I could have that time in the Word, reading it and being nourished by it. In other words, we need to realize we need this time, and we need to do whatever we need to do to have that time in the Word. Anyway, there's been different testimonies over the years. Even our children can learn that this is the time where mommy or daddy is spending time with God. And so they can even learn this is. But the thing is, we need to not make an excuse regarding this matter. It's easy. Oh, you know, I need to get to work. Well, just get up 10 minutes earlier so you can have that 10 minutes with the Lord. Or it's so busy in the morning, getting the kids to school and getting ready for work. Well, okay. But still, you need to find some time where you can have that time in the Word to be nourished. So that's the first of three ways to come to the Word. The second is the way of reading the Word. And we all need to have some time every day where we're reading the Word. And this might not be in the morning. This might be a little later in the day. This could be in our lunch break at work, where we would just bring out our Bible and just read a few chapters from the Word. To read, we are becoming more familiar with the Word of God. And also, there are benefits from reading the Word of God. You know, the Word of God is breath to us, so it helps us to have healthy spiritual breathing. The Word of God is food to us. The Word of God is a washing to us. You know, this reading the Bible gives the Lord a way to wash us, especially to wash our inward being and mainly our mind. And many of you have heard this story before. You know, when Watchman Nee was encouraging the saints to read the Word, to have a time of reading, a sister approached him and said, "You know, Watchman Nee, I don't have a good memory. So I read the Bible, but right after I read it, sister was from, and he had observed that they would make these baskets out of branches that they would use to wash the rice, and they would put the rice in these branch baskets and then dip the basket with the rice in the water and do it multiple times up and down. And he told the sister, "You know, by the time you're done, there's no water. There's no water retained in the basket, but the rice and the basket are washed." And, you know, if we would dip our mind in the Word of God by just having some time in the day to read it, we may not remember what we read. Maybe the words we read don't remain in our minds, but our mind gets washed. Our inward being gets washed. And we all know, right, as we go through the day, how just by having that time in the Word, there's a washing. So we need a time to be nourished, and we need a time to read. And these should be daily. These should be daily, and these do not need to be long, brothers and sisters. As I mentioned in the morning, the encouragement is even if you could just take 10 minutes. Of course, if you're able to spend longer, that's wonderful. And then sometime later in the day, you would have time just to read the Word. See, these things help us practically to be brought back to Christ, because Christ is embodied in the Word. So, you know, you have this desire, "Lord, I want to be brought back to you from all the distractions," but you need a practical way throughout the day to be brought back to Christ. Well, how practical to start the day in the Word for some nourishment. How practical to set a certain time later in the day. As I mentioned, maybe just read a little bit. Maybe it's right before you go to bed, right before you go to bed, kind of to have a time to slow down, to calm down from the things of the day. You just have a time to read the Word. Then the third way of coming to the Word is the way of studying, the way of studying. And with this, you know, we may not have the time to study every day the Word. We surely can make the time to be nourished every day in the Word and to have a time of reading the Word. But for the studying, we can't do it every day. Have some kind of schedule where for certain times during the week, we would study the Word. Study the Word for our learning, our understanding of the truth. And I want to just bring out two things that the to help us in our studying of the Word. The first is the recovery version with the outlines, the cross references, and of course, the footnotes. And this is a great resource to all of us, to all believers, not just to the elders who should be apt to teach, not just to the full-timers who need to have appointments and teach students, not just to ones who are going to minister, but actually all of us need to come to the full knowledge of the truth. And we can, little by little, find some time to just read the recovery version and to read the footnotes, to read the footnotes. We will learn a lot. We will And you don't have to read the recovery version and all the footnotes in 1 year. You can set up a schedule at a pace that you can sustain. But if we would do this, we will gain much, much from the Word. Then the other resource that's been given to us are the life studies. The life studies. And, you know, I just want to repeat Brother Lee's encouragement to us to read the life studies. You know, he just mentioned if you would read 500 life studies, you would be an excellent believer. And recently, Living Stream Ministry has produced an app to help us to be consistent in 2 a week, whatever we feel the pace we can sustain is for us. This app will help us to read the life studies. Oh, I tell you, when you read the Bible with the footnotes, and with the life studies, the Word of God is open to us. We're able to gain more of the truth. And actually, you know, remember that Christ, He is the truth. He's the truth. So actually, by gaining more of the truth, this enables us to gain more Christ. So I would like to check with you, but I won't. In your daily living, are you coming to the Word every day to have a time to be nourished, to have a time to read it? And then during the week of the Word, again, it would be nice to just be able to check in a good way. Are you studying a book of the Bible? What book of the Bible are you studying? Where are you in your studying? What chapter? Or if you're not studying a book of the Bible, what truth are you studying? What line of truth? All of us can come to the Word in this way, the way of studying. And actually, if we spend our time in the Word, through the Word, we will contact God. We will contact Christ. We will contact the Spirit. Through the Word, we will receive more life. And this will cause us to have a church life that's full of life, that's full of the Spirit, that's full of the exhibition of the and experiencing and enjoying. But it requires our practice in these things, and even for us to see the necessity of these things, and as I mentioned earlier, even the legality of these things. So at this point, I'd like to take just maybe 15 more minutes and then open it, if it's okay with the brothers there. Maybe you have some questions you would like to ask as, you know, I'm sharing these things. And of course, you know, as I share these things, I understand, right? You're busy. And maybe your mind is thinking, well, my heart says yes, but my mind says, I don't know if I have the time for these things. But the Bible does tell us that we need to redeem the time. And actually, these days that we're in, they're evil in this sense. They're evil in the sense of robbing us of our time in the Word, or robbing us of our time with the Lord, or distracting us from the Lord. So we all have to redeem the time. It's easy to excuse ourselves, but actually what's needed is not to make the excuse, but rather to consider how to redeem our time. We all are given the same amount of time every week. We all have 168 hours. But it doesn't mean that just because someone's busy that they don't have time for the Lord. You know, I've been in the church life for a while. I've got my own experience, and I have many times just confess and repent to the Lord regarding how I use my time, realizing that there was a lack, there was a shortage in the redeeming of my time. And I let time be wasted. I let time slip by. I used my time on things that were not so profitable. And just like Brother Lee illustrates, you know, the ones who say they have no time, yet someone comes and talks to them or calls them, they can talk for an hour or 2 hours. Recently, I was visiting to another locality, and a brother joined me, and we were sharing with the saints. And actually, he was sharing on this matter of redeeming our time, using our time to contact the Lord. And he didn't have daughters. And over the years, he had many sisters stay with him. And he said the record for a telephone call was 4 hours, 4 hours. In other words, we're busy, yet there are things that we so easily just give our time to. So these days are evil, taking away our time from the Lord, taking away our time from contacting the Lord through the Word, and we need to redeem the time. Then we also need to learn how to labor on Christ. Okay, again, We may have thought, well, when we came into the church life, we thought we were free from the law, from legalities. And we also thought that we're just in the church life. We're just here to receive, not to do. But in Colossians 1, Paul realized that God has allotted to each believer a portion of Christ, just like God allotted to the children of Israel who entered into the good land a portion of that good land. And with the children of Israel, after they were allotted that portion of the land, they were required to labor on that land. They were required to labor on that land and to produce something from that land, so that on one hand they would have what they needed for their own livelihood, but also that they would have something to bring up to Jerusalem three times a year in their worship of God, in their worship of God. So realize that today God has put us all in Christ. Christ is our good land, and we have all been given a portion of Christ. Saints, no matter what you feel your condition is, no matter what you feel about yourself as a brother or sister in the church, you have been qualified by God, by the Father, to have an allotted portion of Christ. And just like the children of Israel, that picture, just like that picture with the children of Israel, they were required to labor on that land for their living and for their worship. Today, we also are required to labor on Christ for our daily living and for our worship to God. My, what a thought. That in a sense, God has given us Christ. He's put us in Christ, our land. He's given us a portion of Christ. Now God says, your employment, your job is to labor on Christ so that something could be produced, something could be brought forth for your daily living, and not just for your daily living, but also for the meeting life, for the meeting life, so that in the meetings, there could be an exhibition of the riches of Christ. And that actually this exhibition of Christ, of our experience and enjoyment of Him, that becomes our worship to God. That's what pleases God. That's what satisfies God. But we need to labor. We need to labor on Christ. So what is it to labor? To labor on Christ is to exercise our spirit, to exercise our spirit in all of our environments, in all of our circumstances, to contact Christ, to receive more Christ into our inward being, and to experience Christ in our environment and in our situations. That means when a husband is talking to his wife, he needs to labor on Christ. This brother needs to labor on Christ, not excuse himself and say, well, right now my wife has been difficult, so I need to not let her win the argument. No, that's a natural thought. God's view is, at this moment, you need to be employed. Your employment is to exercise your spirit. Before you answer your wife, exercise your spirit to contact Christ, to be joined with Christ, to receive Christ, so that something of Christ could be produced in you, in your marriage life, and in your family life, as the parent is speaking to their child or dealing with a naughty child. That's a time where we need to labor on Christ, to contact Christ. Lord, this naughty child, Lord, what do I say? Lord, I don't want to say too much, neither do I want to say too little. And, oh, Lord, you know my temper, my anger, you know I can go too far. Lord, I need you in this situation. So marriage life, family life, at work, as we're dealing with situations at work. Christ that we're in, he wants us to contact him in everything that we do in our daily life. But this is a labor. This is an exercise. But if we have such a labor, such an exercise, this Christ who's in us, he will produce something of himself within us so that when we come to the meetings, whatever is in us of Christ that's been produced will be exhibited, will be expressed. So I want to take care of my time. So let me just bring you to a verse. And I'll just spend a few minutes on the verse and then I'll stop. This verse is in Song of Songs, chapter 4, verse 11. This is the lover speaking to his beloved, okay? Fresh honey, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue, and the fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. The first half of this verse, your lips drip fresh honey, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. You know, when God brought the children of Israel into the good land, he described that land as a land flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey signify the richness and the sweetness of Christ. And milk and honey animal life with the plant life, right? With the honey, you need a bee, but not only a bee, you need the plant with the nectar. With the milk, you need a cow, but not just a cow. The cow needs the grass to produce the milk. Well, with the animal life, this is the aspect of Christ's redeeming life, of Christ's redeeming life. And with the plant life, that's the aspect of Christ generating life within us. Brothers and sisters, we need to experience Christ in both aspects, the redeeming aspect and the generating aspect, to experience him both as our Redeemer and as our life, to enjoy him as this milk and this honey. So that when the Lord sees our lips, he sees fresh honey. And under our tongue, he says there's honey and milk. In other words, as we are speaking, as we are praying, as we are praising, there's something fresh of our experience and enjoyment of the riches of Christ. He knows this. So again, let me just touch the Lord's table meeting. Many places have this formality to call a hymn, sing a hymn, sing the hymn again. Then after the hymn is sung, there are saints who just declare or read the lines of the hymn. That's all they do. Very little milk and honey in that kind of meeting. It's just reciting some words printed on a piece of paper. The Lord is looking for a church life that's full of the milk and honey in us, full of our fresh experiences of Him. And He knows. He knows when we are reading a line from a hymn. He knows when we are praying from that line or speaking something from that line. He knows whether there's milk and honey under our tongue. He knows whether we've been experiencing His redeeming life and His generating life during the week. You know, I'm really touched by this matter, the redeeming life. You know, we often focus on the generating life, right? We want to experience His organic salvation, experience I'll testify, during the week as I am laboring on Christ, I have many failures with my wife, many failures with my children, many failures with the brothers and sisters in the church, many failures even in the society where I am. And I need fresh experience of the redeeming life of Christ. So that when I'm in the Lord's table and I utter a prayer or a praise, thanking the Lord for dying for me, it's not something that's just a form. Oh, we're at the Lord's table. We need to declare the Lord's death. Okay, let me declare, Lord, thank you for dying on the cross. But rather, as I would declare something about the Lord's death, the Lord's redemption, this honey and honey under my tongue. And the Lord can taste that. The Lord can taste that in our speaking, in our praying, and our praising. And that's what satisfies Him. And that's the worship that the Lord is seeking in the church life today. But this needs our labor. This needs our labor, brothers and sisters. So I know in the coming weeks, you'll probably get into the Holy Word from the Itero. Really encourage you. Of course, every week with every message is wonderful, but message 1 and message 7 is where the Lord brought out through the speaking our need to be brought back to Christ Himself for the genuine church life. And then message 7 was on this need for us to labor on Christ. In the Lord's table meeting, the Lord would taste the fresh honey, the milk and honey in our lips and under our tongue, in our singing, in our speaking, in our prayer, and our praises. So for this, we need to labor. For this, we need to contact Christ. And this is why I had that burden, just to bring out the matter of every day, are you spending a little time in the Word to be nourished, a little time to read? And then, do you have a plan to take some time each week to have a little study of the Word, whether using the footnotes or the life study or together, so that we would have a practical way to contact the Lord, to gain the Lord, to experience the Lord? And if we do this, and that the church life, it will be uplifted. The meetings will not only be satisfying to God, that they will be satisfying and supplying to us. Okay, that's it. I wanted to not take more than an hour with you in my sharing. Let me stop here, but maybe I can ask the brothers how we should use the rest of the time.
I guess it's for everyone, not just Brother Craig, but getting through like passages in the Bible as part of your schedule, which are very boring. Like at the moment, I'm really struggling through the ordinances. And so I've got my Old Testament reading that I quote, quote, got to do. And then I'll read the New Testament, but then sometimes I just feel like, oh, I just want to flip through these pages because I don't know, one, how they're relevant, and like, two, there are too many facts. And yeah, I wonder if people have any tips.
Well, I'm not sure if others are trying to respond. We brought out the three ways of coming to the Word. And I think you're touching the matter of just your reading through the Bible. And there are many portions of the Bible that we don't understand while we're reading, but we just simply need to build up a habit of reading the Word. And there are some sections, not just the ordinances, there are some sections where there are names and genealogies. And we may be tempted to just skip those. But over time, as you keep reading, and over time when you would study and maybe read a footnote for that section or that portion, or maybe even come to the life study, like, for example, the book of Leviticus, right? Many ordinances. But you get into the life study of Leviticus, and it opens it up for you. So the next time you read Leviticus, there's some enjoyment. There's some read that in the early years. I didn't enjoy it. But now, having had some time to study the footnotes, and it's actually several books by Brother Nian Lee, I've begun to appreciate the Song of Songs. So I would say for now, you just have to, in a sense, endure this read through. But then also, I would say, be a seeker. Be a seeker and say, there's Christ here. There's Christ in this word, right? The word embodies Christ. I just don't see it. So I know where I can go that could open this up for me to see something of Christ. And that's the footnote or the life study. Yeah. Okay. It's on mute. The Zoom part is on mute. Yeah, I'm sorry. Camp 2 is unmuted now. Sorry, brother.
I need you to repeat. Your audio wasn't on. Could you hear me before, Brother Craig?
No, I could not hear. Sorry.
Sorry. I was referring to the first point of being nourished and taking some verses to read and pray read in the morning, and whether that was something separate to normal Hollywood for morning revival.
Yeah, so of course, when Brother Lee spoke that in 78, we didn't yet have the Holy Word for morning revival. But there are many saints actually do either or in the morning. They may be reading the Word and just taking two verses or three verses from their reading to be nourished. Or they may come to the Holy Word and use the two verses that are there in the gray box for their time. The main thing is taking that time in the Word to have some prayer over it for the spiritual nourishment. Yeah. So are there two camps? I see camp two and then this camp.
There's just one, but maybe two audio or video streams.
Okay, or two different view. Yeah, okay, sure. Yeah.
I'll just give a really short testimony, a recent enjoyment. the 500 Life Studies app. Really appreciate that. We can set it up as a schedule, so you get a prompt on your phone at a set time. You can define how much or how little you read, and all the text is right there. It's very, very convenient, very helpful to just receive a little bit of truth in a regular way. And it's been a real supply for me just in the last week, couple of weeks, just getting into that.
Amen.
Hi, Brother Craig. I wanted to ask about laboring on Christ. When there's things in our day, like at work, that just call, I find that it's difficult to, it takes me out of being with the Lord. How can we continue to enjoy and labor on the Lord even with those things that happen?
Yes, this is, you know, this is why we need to learn how to live in two realms at the same time. We tend to either be in one realm and not the other, but actually we have to learn to live in two realms at the same time, right? We have to live in the realm of this divine and mystical union with the Lord. This is something in our spirit. This is something that's real, but it's another realm that we have to learn how to be in. Yet at the same time, we're living in this physical realm. Right? That's going in this physical realm at work and engaging in the job and engaging with people. Yet at the same time, we need to be in this divine and mystical realm in our spirit. And it's possible. It's possible, but it's a labor or it's an exercise. It's an exercise. You know, as we're at work, I served for about a decade, about 10 years, and then I went and got a job. And I remember in the kind of early part of my job, it's like I went to the office and I came out and I realized, wow, I forgot that I was a Christian all day. I forgot the Lord was in my spirit because I was, you know, learning so much and focusing on trying to do well. And I realized, wow, this is scary. How I could just completely forget that there's a God. I realized from that, I need to have this exercise when I'm at work to contact the Lord, to join myself to the Lord. Well, it can't be like I'm in the meetings, right? I can't, you know, sit at my desk and call on the Lord loudly or sing a hymn loudly or pray read. But I did learn, even when I'm engaging with a colleague or a coworker, and even where it may be a very difficult exchange there, I did learn, actually, at the same time, inwardly, I can contact the Lord and have fellowship with the Lord, while outwardly, I'm using ordinary words in the workplace to be able to communicate with my colleague. So this is a reality that we really can live in these two realms at the same time, but we're not used to it. We're used to either or, right? I'm in the meetings and I'm in the divine spot, you know, at the house. And then once the meeting finishes, once my morning time finishes, I then just am in the physical realm doing the ordinary things of life. And I forget that there's this other realm that I'm joined to. So that's the exercise, the labor. And all I can say is you have to practice. You have to practice this. And that's why I just was burdened to touch the matter of the word, because we do get busy and we forget, right? So having these little times just to pick up the word just gives us a practical way to set our mind back on the Lord and to contact the Lord. Yeah, so maybe at work, I'm sorry, kind of giving a longer answer now, but maybe at work, you have morning tea break, lunch break, afternoon tea, whatever you have. Well, whatever you're allowed, maybe you don't take it, but maybe you should, right? Maybe you should realize, actually, I need to take that break to just walk around the parking lot to have some exercise in my spirit to contact the Lord, because I realize it's not been so easy for me at work to be in these two realms at the same time. Yeah, so I learned at work, sometimes it's best not to work through lunch. Sometimes it's good just take that break and go outside to contact the Lord. Or call a brother, you know, in the lunchtime and have a prayer time with him, or, you know. Okay.
Hi, Brother Craig. My question is, are you in a vital group? And if you are, how did you approach a saint?
I'm in a vital group, and so what happened is my wife and I were burdened, you know, to have a vital group, and we were praying, and then we just realized there was this other family who actually had children the same age as us, and we're similar age. And the Lord just put it in our heart to invite them to come over to our home. And so it just started with an invitation to come over to our home. And then we just opened up about Friday night. We have some college students coming over, and just invited them to join us on Friday night. And that was kind of the initiation day. My wife prays every week with that sister. And it's kind of a nuisance when I go up to my room and she's there praying. I realize, okay, I can't be in the room right now, so I have to go find somewhere else in the house to be. But I can overhear her and this sister just praying for the ones in our group, praying for our children, their children, different ones. And the brother and I, we don't pray as much, but I appreciate that he's a real help for me in going to visit people. He has a real heart to go visit certain ones. So anyway, I guess to answer your question, it came out of praying, a feeling came towards a certain family, and then, you know, we just either you go visit or you just invite them to come over, and maybe you don't have to say, hey, I'm a vital group with you. I don't know what it's like there in Australia, but sometimes here we don't like labels. Labels can become not so comfortable. But I think if you're vital and you go contact someone, and through your contacting of them, you help them to be vital, then you become a vital group. In fact, you know, Burley encourages us, right? The vital group begins with one, you being vital, then go find one other saint to be vital with, and then you'll become a vital group. But sometimes just to visit or invite them over is a way to start.
Hi, Brother Craig.
Okay.
Do you have any fellowship for shift workers, how to spend time with the Lord if our schedules are the other way around?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a reality, right? It's not all jobs are 9 to 5 or whatever it may be. But I think that the principle is the same. Okay, so your day begins at some point, right? Just not the same time as other people. So the necessity is to start your day at whatever time your day begins, by spending some time in the Word to contact the Lord and to be nourished. Okay, I have to start work at this time, and to get there at this time, I need this much time to dress, right? To eat, to travel. Well, I want to add you know, whatever time you want there with the Lord, hopefully at least 10 minutes. That's when I need to get up so I can be ready to start my shift, but also to make sure that I'm nourished up before I start my shift. So it's, you know, where there's the will, there's the way, to find a way to get that time. And I really was helped just as I was reading, you know, Brother Lee's sharing of this. He really did emphasize a lot of times, 10 minutes, 15 minutes here, there, you know, being nourished, reading the word. So don't despise that. Even I would say any mothers, right, among us, you know, when I had. And so I learned to appreciate 5 minutes here, 10 minutes there, whatever I could get to contact the Lord and to be nourished by him. So anyway, brother, I hope you understand my answer. Just whatever your shift starts, work backwards, and then that's when you need to get up and spend time with the Lord and still take care of your shift. Yeah.
Hey, brother, I have a question. It's about when you arrange a time to read the Bible, but sometimes you just can't finish, follow the schedule. So another day. Hello?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I heard you up to sometimes you can't finish, and then it went blank.
So your Bible study schedule, right? You read 2 Old Testament and the New Testament, but sometimes you don't have enough time to finish the schedule. And do you normally read, so you skip some chapter, but the next day do you catch out the chapter from yesterday, or you just keeping reading the today's portion only?
I could just share what I do, and I really like this little thing here, this little tab, but you could use a bookmark. And, you know, my schedule is I try to read 4 chapters a day. That's because I'm combining 3 in the old and 1 in the new, and you'll read through the whole Bible in a year. So I try to every year read through the Bible. And you're right. You know, there's some days where it's just not so, whatever it may be, just can't read the 4 chapters. But I just read what I can, and I put the bookmark in. And then the next day when I come, I just try to read 4 chapters from there. It's not every day that I'm not able to follow my schedule or keep my schedule. It's occasional. But really the main thing is that we just need to be consistent. You know, it's a necessity, right? It's a necessity. I need to daily spend time in the a more full meal. There are other days I may be eating, you know, a shorter time, or I may be kind of hurried in my eating. But the point is, I've got this realization. It's a necessity that I spend whatever time, right, I can to eat physically, and also whatever time I can to read the word and contact the Lord for some nourishment. So I would just encourage you, on the days you can't complete the schedule, just start from there the next day, and go on and do your best.